Welcome back to Pack Your Mics. This is a Top Chef podcast by the creators of Read It and Weep, and we are here to talk about episode 8 of season 13, Where's the Beef?
Where is it?
Where is it?
Also, the worrying ascendancy of Philip.
The rise of our once and future king, Philip.
I'm not ready. No one's ready.
He's found himself. Guys. He's ready to cook winning food.
I gotta put this out there first. I did not hate Philip this episode.
Yeah, he wasn't
you
as bad.
If you
took a step back.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
I said this episode, I didn't not hate it. I still hate him the episode before it, but I didn't hate him this episode. I can't.
And he made a really good analogy, I have to admit.
He did.
Remember that? I was like, yes, that was.
Yeah, there was like a pause where like Sarah and I were like, huh. And then we're like, well, shit, I guess we have to give it to him.
Yeah, that happened here too. It did happen here too.
What was the analogy?
Guys,
I forget.
Wait, before we dig in further, I have to ID all these traitor voices.
I'm not pro Philip. Ezra just doesn't have Philip permanence yet. He doesn't realize this is the same person from the other episodes.
It's the same Philip. It's all the same Philip, you guys. All right. I am your host. My name is Tanya, and I'm here in Brooklyn with Chris. I sound kind of garbagey, and for that, I do apologize. As we go around this week, I want everybody to either name the largest thing you've ever cooked or the most people you ever cooked for. Because I realize like the biggest thing I've ever cooked is like a chicken. So that's not super impressive. But I think probably we cooked for what, like 12 people for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did
a 1 year?
Indian feast, beer and honey type thing.
Yeah, that was pretty hardcore. Cool. I think I didn't stop washing dishes for like 3 days. So that was cool.
Yeah. Yay, New York.
Yeah, New York. So Chris, also in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's a contender, as is my buddy Nels and I used to throw curry parties in Seattle where we just made a big curry and invited everybody over and everybody got a bowl.
That's fun.
And yeah, but I'm not used to seasoning anything that big, so like I'd like somebody, you know, we'd be tasting it, oh, it needs a little bit more of this, and I put in what I thought would be like a generous portion were this serving four people of that spice.
Yeah.
And so it's like a cruise ship, it's a slow boat, you know.
Yeah.
All right, let's go over to Portland where we have Alex and Megan. You guys, biggest food, most food?
I have a couple of ideas. What would you say?
What would I say?
Or do you want me to go first? I'll go first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've only cooked small food for small people.
Oh, no! Is that your cookbook?
I love that.
Is that your
Is that the book cookbook? Yeah.
Yeah, that's your cookbook.
Hors d'oeuvres for halflings.
Small people only small dishes.
Small food for small people in tiny houses.
Yeah.
I was trying to think. I think the biggest thing we've ever brought home to cook is when you have... Brussels sprouts on the vine, and it's just like 3 feet of Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah, that is like a pretty good weapon if you want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Of all the vegetable weapons, the most food I've ever been involved in preparing was that the one time I worked in food service was that I helped cater a wedding one time, just for extra money, and so I had to tear the top off of like 300 bread bowls.
Mm. Whoa.
What do they ever do to you, Alex?
My God, that's like a war crime.
Well, but it was
that
very
significant.
It was good for the universe because we used the top to make croutons, so it was like very
fresh croutons are good for the universe. I agree.
it was like a good thing came out of a bad deed, you know.
Like those, you know, no bean chili eyeball.
Splatter.
Oh, yeah.
Splatter.
I'm so mad at Tom.
Oh, Last Chance Kitchen. All right.
So
in the Bay Area. we're going
to
close out our traitor review with Ezra and Sarah.
The traitorous,
occasionally
traitory
Caleb.
Of all.
Yeah. Yes.
Our Philip lover's
and
delight.
Elmo.
I didn't hate him this episode. This is all I said.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I shouldn't twist your words. We will have a balanced and rational discussion of Philip in this episode, and I will not be a monster, I promise.
Yeah, okay, jerks. What did you make?
I'm still not on team, Philip. Don't worry. I think the biggest thing I ever made was a brisket a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of disappointing because briskets start out really big, but then they shrink. So I was like, man, once I serve this to people, they're going to be not impressed. But it did taste good.
Yeah. I was going to say the Danish Thanksgiving we cooked was probably
there you go.
So that we, you know, when we were in Denmark, you know, they don't have a Thanksgiving because there's nothing to be thankful for. so we had to
just kidding. No, want to move to Denmark.
They're always thankful for everything, so thanks. You don't really need to have the one day, honestly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we made a turkey, you know, with another American and a bunch of you know, international students and Danes came over to eat, and I don't know, it's maybe like 15, 20 people.
I think we made two turkeys.
Yeah, all right. So we made two turkeys, and the highest compliment I think they've ever gotten, you know, for my food, was when the Greek student ate my the gravy that I made like soup. She finished it off. It was such a compliment.
Wow.
She said it was like a Greek soup that she had.
Did the
and
Danes
she just destroyed
you,
it.
Now I'm curious, did the Danes give you any compliments or did they just poke at the turkey curiously and wonder why it wasn't made of smoked fish?
I think the pumpkin pie went
Danes
over pretty
there.
Well.
Yeah, pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Yeah, the pumpkin pie spice we ended up gifting to our Danish friends when we went back to visit. So
aww.
They also
it's a nice just spice mix.
It's sort of like you have salt and pepper on the table there. They just have cod heads and then they crinkle it on top of whatever they're eating. So on the pumpkin pie there was like some just a little flaky cod.
Yeah.
That's more like Malaysia. Legit, they have like little mini dried fish on the table for you to sprinkle on everything, including your breakfast.
I don't need to do that.
I mean, yeah. Sarah didn't.
Great story.
Didn't need to sprinkle dried fish on my bones for breakfast.
All right, well, that concludes our Anthony Bourdain segment. We're going to hop into our quick fire this week. Which was a very visually focused challenge. They used junk food to create food porn, and then the judges were Instagram.
Yeah.
So
well, and there was that food Instagrammer like Jacques Lemaire, who was actually Christine Flynn, and
It was a big Instagram. I guess if you were in foodie Instagram circles, this would have been a big, exciting reveal.
Yeah, breaking news.
So Alex, how did you feel about that?
So I thought I was gonna hate the Instagram challenge, but I actually kind of liked it. It was a fun, silly, like, you just plate junk food, make it look pretty, take pictures of the internet votes we find out at the judge's table. Like, that part I was fine with, but they specifically said we're gonna keep this person's identity secret, and then they revealed it like 5 minutes later, which just seems like, why didn't you just reveal it at the beginning and not have that terrible voice altered, just hard to watch, like, person through a voice changer, like, you're going to murder me, explaining the challenge, but you couldn't understand her. And she was saying, like, trying to sound bro-y, even though she was very clearly a woman. And it was...
Oh, I thought the brosif guy was funny. I enjoyed him.
Couldn't. You weren't fooled, Alex?
I said 100% that's a woman. Didn't I?
You really?
Did
say
there was no
you
doubt in my
that.
Mind. And but mostly just the voice changer was just jarring and hard to listen to. And I was like, just at least don't have her say information. Like, don't give her anything critical to the plot to say, because it's hard to.
You don't want
her.
A voice changer exposition. Yeah. I think Padma should have the voice changer for all future challenges.
I would have enjoyed if that was also Padma.
She should just call them through their cell phones and be like, here's your challenge.
I was a little worried that person would be Philip that came out from behind the camera. And that would have been really terrible.
I thought that was a high probability.
Because he's your favorite.
I wondered if it would be like a former Top Chef person, like Spike, just like appears based on like the weird
scarf thing. Well, that was another
thing.
Like, I don't know who this person is. And so it was not a big reveal. It was like, congratulations, this anonymous person is an anonymous chef.
Wouldn't that be such a better like Scooby-Doo episode where it's like, and turns out it's this guy you don't know?
Yeah.
And they didn't even seem to know her. It wasn't just like she wasn't famous. They were just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the world is big.
But they all bonded over the use of soigné. Yeah.
I do not like that word, I think.
I get it. So she's very funny. She said soigné.
Yeah, apparently that's a chef word that half of our chef testants knew. And
insisted they would never use. Like, it was like a thing that everyone already kind of hated.
Yeah.
Indeed. How did we?
But she legit seemed to like the word.
Well, it was maybe ironic usage.
Yeah,
the
same way she was ironically broing.
Yeah, although
it's kind of the same way, like
Oh, I just think that there's no ironic use of something, or at least it never stays ironic, you know?
Well, I agree with that for sure.
There's the, you know, you start saying hella, and then all of a sudden you find yourself saying it when you don't mean to.
You're so funny in high school, and then all of a sudden you're a 31-year-old who says hella in normal conversation.
Hella.
Indeed. Sarah, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say it's the way that Caleb says the word vacuum over and over again. It sounds like he really, really likes it. But if you actually show him the vacuum, he does not like it.
Oh, he's like a puppy.
Word to the wise, do not show him the vacuum.
He's like a puppy who knows how to say vacuum.
I will say that something that came out of this challenge that I actually really enjoyed was the secret immunity gift. Yeah. Which was somebody won, but they're not going to know, and you're not going to know.
Yeah.
And I actually thought that, that was a really nice touch.
Nobody's taking the back seat.
Yeah, no one can phone it in.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Is that funny?
And also,
they were posting pictures on their phone.
Oh, I guess kind of. That's how I meant to say it.
There was a pun there.
I also thought this was a nice gift to anybody who has to work in corporate social media, because Bravo TV has 646,000 Instagram followers, and the most liked image that the Top Chef people were posting got 5,000 likes.
Yeah, that's not that many.
The ones that we saw. Yeah, no, it's not. And that's totally normal. And I feel like anybody who tears their hair out day after day about how many likes they get can be completely like placated by this information.
Well,
because really like the average sampling across the group was like 1,000 or less.
It's funny that it's great that you say that, because I was wondering, because when they announced the girl before they said who it was, the woman, they were like, she has garnered 30,000 Instagram followers. And I was like, is that great?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound great.
Is that important? Not important?
I mean, it would be cool if it were me, but it doesn't sound that impressive.
Well, as an unknown chef who joins Instagram and starts posting, that is pretty impressive. But as somebody that you want to partner with, not to get too boring, that's not enough.
Right, right. What was it like? What was like? Just to help me with something else. What was like hipster Barbie?
So Tanya, that's a pass for you then.
I'm gonna pass on that. I think we need to find some stronger influencers before we move forward.
Hashtag influencers.
It's good for an unknown chef. I just think like this is a big reveal on a television show. It just felt like maybe not that. It wasn't impressive. It seems like not enough to get you on TV, but apparently it was.
I think if you're if you're challenging a team to come up with a challenge that involves Instagram, this was a very this was a great use of Instagram.
True,
and it came together pretty well.
Totally, yeah. I agree with that.
And the food looked pretty good, I think, overall. Like the ones that they got decent shots.
Is this the first challenge we've ever had where they didn't have to eat the food?
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, nobody
definitely
tasted it.
This season.
Yeah.
Well, they did taste it.
I remember one before. There's one. There was like a perfectly cooked steak that Tom was asking for. He didn't eat any of them.
Oh.
It was like a couple of seasons ago.
He just looked at them.
He only cut into them. But he didn't. He just wanted to see like if it was like like medium rare or whatever, how the sear was.
Interesting.
He never ate any of those. Mm-hmm. So at least second.
Yeah. Oh, and
I have to say though.
Go ahead.
So Karen, I guess, are we revealing? Can we reveal?
Oh,
now?
Of course, yeah.
Karen won this challenge. Of course, she didn't find this out until later, but I did not like her plating, actually.
I thought
it didn't appeal to me as much as some of the other ones.
Yeah,
and that's why she didn't get 5,601.
Yeah.
Did anyone else have favorites of the ones that we saw?
I was a little underwhelmed. I thought overall I wasn't sure what everyone was driving at. I didn't feel like everybody like embraced this fully.
Yeah.
Except for Philip, who took 15 minutes to take a goddamn photo.
Yeah, and they just showed everyone being like so mad at it. He got the tuba at it.
Being clearly furious.
Yeah.
Yeah, once that tuba started, I knew shit was going down.
Well, and to be fair, we were like 8-ish days deep, and everybody is tired, and everybody just like wants to get on with it already.
That's true.
So,
So even though Ezra was swooning over Philip then.
Oh, God. Yeah. Even then, Ezra was like, be still my heart.
Come on, guys. It's not funny.
Nah, it's pretty funny, dude. It's pretty funny.
Tanya, does it change it for you if Jacques Lemaire has 112,000 followers now?
That's better.
Yeah.
That's really better.
That number is higher than the previous number.
Yeah, but do me a quick favor and find out how many followers Chrissy Teigen has.
Hipster Barbie has 1.3 mils.
Yeah, I was just checking on
I was going to say, I feel like if you're not if you're not in the million range, it. I mean, again, this is all very boring inside baseball, but when you're dealing with marketing, these things matter.
No, I, so. Chrissy Teigen I don't think this is has 4.8 million
followers.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. So,
that's a lot.
Well, and, but she is a lady who gets naked sometimes. Not on Instagram, but, you know, other times.
Yeah, we don't have to try and unlock the internet right now.
Yeah, but there are some.
I think Chris just did it. If a woman gets naked, that's part of the internet.
Like
showing pretty plates of food, naked
yeah.
women.
Yeah.
Huh. Does this exist?
Oh, Chrissy Teigen has a British together? Bulldog.
Artfully you guys. I'm taking control of the ship.
Okay.
We have to start talking about Top Chef again.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to be looking at pictures of The Rock's dogs on Instagram. You talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, everyone just check Instagram and I'll just start prattling on about beefsteak.
I do follow at least three dogs that have more followers than that woman.
Oh, see, this is what I'm screaming. I mean, and that's not to say that it's not really expensive to court people that have a bajillion Instagram followers. It is, but, totally. You know.
Do you guys feel like this was a decent, like, chefy type challenge?
I thought it was fun, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because it is, like... Food on Instagram is sort of a big deal now, and it does seem like a skill that you might need to have. And so I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and I thought, I mean, I like kind of ridiculous, not everybody does, but I think the quickfire is supposed to be frivolous. And so finding a new way to make a weird quickfire is great at this point in the show. And I've not seen anything like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like just plate these fruit that you've cut, but it was like, and also making a junk food was a neat twist. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think, Alex, I think I actually side with you that, you know, overall, I think people could have taken it farther, especially because you have more weird, like, colors and textures and unusual things.
Yeah,
with mm-hmm. synthetic
there were like three
food.
People doing a garden. I mean, you got all this crazy food.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but Carl's had a can in it.
Yeah, it was like a spam cornucopia.
I was surprised that can worked out as well as it did. I was really not into the can, and then he kind of worked it. So
she really opened the door for a lot of can plating situations.
It's true. Until someone cuts their tongue, and then we're all done.
Oh God! Well, you shouldn't be eating face first into the garden.
You know, you can't tell me how to eat, Alex. So we went from tiny, very carefully fabricated, probably tweezer using food making
to a lot of tweezer hate.
There was a lot of tweezer hate between the episode and Last Chance Kitchen this time around, into big bold beefsteak.
Oof.
So
beefsteak. What's a beefsteak?
Tell us. It's not just a tomato anymore.
I mean. It could be like a big hearty like meal where everyone eats a lot of meat in big portions with their hands, or it could be not that. In which case, you get chastised for serving food that doesn't you don't have to eat with your hands.
Yeah, it's a festival of hating on microgreens.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and historically, it was the place for corruption in California.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that part was important.
It was the symbol of mob corruption in Southern California. Also, importantly, sexist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is accurate.
I would say at the time, probably like tangentially sexist. Like that wasn't the point.
Well, he said later that it was important that it be sexist now, which I thought, not a great joke.
No.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't go over great. I don't think.
Who was that dude who said that?
Was
it the Simpsons
guy? The founder. Yeah.
Oh, he was a founder of the show.
He's a co-founder of Beefsteak, of the revived Beefsteak thing. Yeah.
And was he the same guy who was wearing the like piece of raw meat thing?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
he was one of the king meats. Yeah.
This whole event, and
it didn't really seem like it brought the best out in anyone, actually.
No. I guess the net result seemed to be that the chefs felt a little bit confounded and everyone wanted to be really raucous. This kind of reminds me of when you go, you're planning to go to a party and the party has been hyped for many, many weeks. And then you finally, like, everybody gets together for it and everyone's kind of tired and like the energy is really low. And you were like supposed to go out dancing after, and like everybody just goes home at like 11 and it's like, oh, that sucked. Like, it felt like that. Like, there's a lot of buildup. People are like, it's going to be crazy. And then everybody was
mean,
like, I don't know, fish?
Every... You say, mean like every New Year's ever?
Yeah. Beefsteak is New Year's. Thank you, Ez, for saving me from that belabored explanation that was going on.
Beefsteak is New Year's. Everybody thinks they're supposed to have fun, but they don't know how.
Yeah. Although, boy, you know, our newest contestant, Amar, really shone brightly.
Yeah. he's a nice addition to the show. I'm glad they pulled him in this week.
He was great. I'm really feeling him. I'm so glad they added him to the cast.
Here's the thing, guys. If Philip could have just not been in any episodes before this, he would have been fine. He would have been like an Amar.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that's true.
Yeah, this is true. If only Philip could be Amar.
But for everybody besides Ezra, Philip has been here the whole time.
You realize this is the same guy as who was annoying us previously?
I think maybe... He could turn
his
it around,
face is
okay?
On the billboard. We'll
Philip 2.0.
On his restaurant.
I'm not hearing you.
Well, I think we can go Philip first into this thing. I mean, he wins the challenge. So let's talk about Philip. Philip goes on a journey, and apparently it's successful, and I don't know how to get the anger out of my voice, so maybe someone else should talk about it.
Well, and he made lamb, which he had overcooked previously, you know?
And it was a journey that he created all of the uphill battles.
Yeah. That's true.
It wasn't like it was set out for him and he had to get through it. He did it to himself and then he overcame it and won the challenge.
It's the classic villain's journey.
Yeah.
It's like somebody who's running a race and then before the race they set up like 1 foot high hurdles.
Yeah.
And they're like, I did so much.
And then in the post-race interview, they're like, oh my gosh, those hurdles though.
Yeah.
And on every one of the hurdles, there's a 7 foot picture of his face.
He's like,
every hurdle
can
comes
do
with
this.
Its own billboard.
I thought this is what the organizers of the race wanted.
I'm just trying to run the race that Tom wants. Oh, wait. Tom said to just be myself. I'm going to cook the same lamb dish.
Yeah.
Finally.
It was weird that for something called beefsteak, we had three meats. One of them was chicken, one was lamb, one was steak. But none of them were like huge main event. Oh, mama, that's a lot of meat kind of deal.
Well, that steak thing, it had the same issue that Sarah was talking about for the brisket, which
started
is that it shrinks a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, Philip was smart in that he's the only one who cooked meat on a handle. And this is a utensilless day. That was very smart. Although, okay, I hate this event so much, including the description, no utensils, no napkins. Look, one or the other.
Well, they have those giant aprons that everybody gets that are your napkin.
Yes. So you're wearing your napkin. Okay. Don't say there's no napkin. I was just like, this is just a gross handshake day.
Yeah. You're trying to be making corruption deals and your hands are all oogie.
So it's smart to put it on a handle. But basically every chef did badly. Even Philip, they were like, they liked it, but it was a little tiny thing and no one cooked a big steak.
I think, Marjorie and Karen,
actually, everybody turned it on the sides.
Yeah,
the sides were where people shone.
Because Karen, Marjorie, Jeremy. I mean, you got three of your top.
Yeah, well, I do want to address Marjorie because she makes me so nervous and I love her. But, I think the fact that no one made big steaks and then they all got yelled at for that, I think the event was not well explained to the chefs because I've never seen the whole panel miss the point so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, Joan wrote in on Facebook and said the same thing basically. If 9 out of 9 chefs get it completely wrong and miss the idea of the event, that's a bad explanation.
Might have been the explaining. Yeah. And they'd never heard of this event because they're not corrupt California politicians.
Yeah.
I mean, to be clear, this is now a charity event. Like, they've transitioned it out of corrupt politician party day into, like, give money to people who need it. So, you know, but also maybe don't make the whole challenge a mystery to the people competing.
Look, this charity, though, got Kwame yelled at, so I don't think it should exist anymore.
Anything that challenges Kwame is out.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
This is be nice to Kwame time.
Yeah.
His shrimp looked so good, and he thought it was good. I had such high hopes, and then my heart just, like, sank when they said it wasn't good.
Yeah, it looked really good. And it looked great for a kid who used to be on The Wire, apparently.
Okay. Let's all calm down. Yeah. Also, he's not the only one with a checkered past. But remember the winner of Top Chef Texas? We had that amazing...
And also,
oh, yeah, Paul Keen.
He was really good at selling drugs, if that helps.
Yeah. Also, I did like that.
It gave him confidence.
Yeah. That was a good quote.
That was such
That's the great lesson.
Like, if I could do this, imagine if I put it to a legal business.
Yeah. Yeah. Clever.
Can I talk about Marjorie really quick?
Okay, go in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
She did great today. She's done great several times. And every time it's for baking something, it's for a dessert, it's for her vegetable work. Like, she is amazing, and she has the worst Top Chef instincts. And it makes me so nervous.
Yeah.
Tom does not like someone who kills it on dessert more than once. It just...
She's... Could she be the exception that proves the rule? I mean, is she the one?
I would love it if she was, because I want to eat everything she makes. And she was like, recently. I love that.
Yeah. No, she's Bizarro Superman, and so, like, kryptonite gives her power, right? It's the exact opposite of everything possible.
I just don't think you can win the show with great vegetable work. Like, that's consistently the person in third place.
But think about how many chefs are still on our TV. I think it's actually quite realistic to get by. And the thing about Marjorie that makes me hopeful, Alex, is that she isn't just always baking a cake or bringing out some crazy bread. She's doing this when it makes sense. Like, she's deploying these skills strategically.
Totally.
And she's not, so far, she's not frustrating Tom by being like, I know you asked for a perfectly roasted chicken, but I made you these cookies. Like, she's doing okay in that regard.
But
and I don't think
that
we've seen her.
But was called beefsteak, and she said, I'm going to make vegetables in a roll. Like, that was her instinct.
The roll was different, though, right?
Because the roll was like a natural, it was nature's napkin, which I also thought was really funny.
Yeah, it was a napkin, and you could use it to grip other things with your bread, like Ethiopian food.
Yes, I agree, and I love it, and she's a great team member. Here's what I'll say. I'll just make this. It's not a prediction segment, but I'll just make the prediction that in the next two episodes, somebody says, you've been doing great, but I just don't know that you can do protein. Like,
Did her green curry have a protein?
Yeah, right? It must have some meat in it. And
that's not the same as, like...
I'm just expecting Tom to say, I don't know if I can trust you with protein. Like, that's the quote that happens every year with somebody like this. She's amazing. I want to be her friend. I want to eat in a restaurant.
Like, cook this steak.
Just scared.
Cook this chicken breast.
Although, Melissa, who...
Wait, what was that?
What's that, Sarah?
I was just saying, like, are you saying, like, here, like, cook this steak and cook it perfectly, or cook this chicken and cook it perfectly? That's what you're nervous about?
I'm not worried that she can't do it. I'm worried that the judges are going to look back on her track record and say, you've been great and I've never seen you do proteins.
Well, and to be fair, I feel like that's the kind of talk that you really only get in like Final Four, Final Three.
Totally true.
Like, you don't have that kind of reflection until you're really in the final group.
And that's what happened with Melissa.
Alex is pointing. He's pointing.
No. I was raising my finger because I was going to say Marjorie in third. That's my prediction.
Ooh.
Oh,
wow. Strong words.
That's fine. Like, I think it doesn't actually matter that much. I mean, all right. Six-figure payout, that does matter, I guess. Yeah. Yes. But I mean, like...
It must be nice to be able to skew that. Yeah. Whatever. 100 grand. Who cares?
It's nice. No, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, you can make out with that much endorsements or whatnot if you come off well, like, you know, and get to the final four.
Yeah, Fabio's doing great.
Yeah?
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
over 30,000 followers on Instagram.
I think, I mean, and obviously visibility is the real booby prize of all of this.
Yep.
Stuff. So that said, who else do we think came out of the beefsteak challenge looking strong, or was this a pretty big fail across the board?
Pretty big for me.
I think the only chefs who did well were the ones who did the sides. So Marjorie, Jeremy's Brussels sprouts were good, they said, and the roasted carrots, and Karen, her two sides were great too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But our two favorite people are on the bottom.
Yeah,
this was a tough, this was a very stressful episode. I feel like I was more victim to the doom edit than I'm used to. Usually I can kind of see through it, but this time I got a lot of signals that I sort of misunderstood.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I was so sure Kwame was going
Cajun.
Home. Or not Kwame, Cajun.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, before that.
Yeah.
Oh, I was right. I got it right.
Ooh. Megan, no wool over Megan's eyes.
Yeah, I got it right, too.
She called it early on.
Chris.
I feel like it was the doom edit for for swamp people, but I feel like one of the problems with the Doom edit is that if you don't...
Sorry, Doom edit for swamp people. Sounds like...
Show title?
I think some sort of terrible Philip Glass song.
Koyan is Scotsy.
This is the hard thing about for the magical elves is that when you give someone the Doom edit and then they lose, it's like, oh, that's too obvious. And when you throw us off with the Doom edit and then that person doesn't go home, now it just feels like unjustified why Chad went home because it seemed like they hated chicken sausage more.
Yeah.
So it's a tough situation to edit to make it suspenseful but also feel justified.
I thought Chad got the Doom edit.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he was...
I agree.
He was giving his beard a blowout. Like,
well, that's what we determined. This is the new... It's not just you call your kids. Another thing that means you're going home is when you give your giant red scraggly beard a blowout.
Yeah. Yeah, when you start doing landscaping on it, like, you know, and it's trimming because you're like, oh, I'm going to be here a while.
Gotta keep this beard looking real consistent.
I want them to have like some of the other like you know, about to die tropes where it's like, you know what? I figure out the whole plan. I'll tell you about it when I get back.
Yeah. Well, we did
or
have.
I was like, we're about to retire. Let me just do this one last job. That kind of stuff.
Let's split up and investigate.
I'm going to do this. Is my one last heist. I'm making risotto on my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Woofaroony.
I really think I can win with a salad.
We had for Swamp People and for Chad. For Kwame, both of them made something they made 1,000 times. They just did it badly. And that's something we've seen a lot of Doom in before, which I make this every day. I know it's good.
And both of them liked it. Like, both of them were surprised that they didn't like it. Like, they thought it was good. And so that was kind of interesting, too. Because I think Kwame said that this was the first time that they had a decision where he was, like, completely surprised by it.
And that makes me so scared. If you like, or same thing with swamp people. Like, if you didn't notice your chicken was bland, like, that's such a bad sign for you.
I have a theory. I have a theory though.
Get in there, Chris.
Chris is pointing.
No, raise my finger.
Point it up, Chris.
In a non-threatening manner.
just means you have to predict somebody's coming in third. That's what that finger means.
Oh yeah. One of those problems is that you're cooking for 100 people, and that portions are super hard. And so when Kwame said like, "Oh, I tasted this; it was good," his thing was not necessarily I touched every shrimp and I think every shrimp was really good.
Right.
It was the judges said that some of the cooking was super uneven.
Yeah.
And with, you know, same thing could be true in a sausage because, you know, like once it's in the casing, like the seasonings and stuff don't move around.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mix. It's not like a soup where you put in a pinch of salt and it goes throughout, it distributes.
Yeah. Right. You get what you get in sausage town.
And
wow.
That's the rule about sausage town.
As you walk into sausage town, that's blazing on a huge billboard. Just so you know, don't get too excited. You get what you get.
Forget about it, Alex. Yeah. It's Sachin Town, baby.
And that's an excellent point because when we first saw Philip's lamb, I was convinced that it was basically still like twitching because it looked so rare. And then we saw Padma like waving one of the pieces around and it looked really nicely cooked.
Because it had 1,000,000 years to rest.
Right.
Well, that's another thing I wonder is that like with a service that size, maybe the timing for the sausage wasn't perfect, or for the shrimp probably more than the sausage, but the timing for the shrimp might not have been perfect, so it came out kind of crappy.
I agree. So I mean, like, we've seen Kwame and Swamp People do enough that, like, their palates are good, their tastes are good. Like, you know, they know how to make good food. So this wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm confused. The judges must have been crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's volume.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want both of them doing well, so it still makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when Philip is winning. Ugh.
I know. That was the salt in the wound.
Yeah. And even still kind of a bland wound. I don't know.
I was so hoping.
Did you taste this wound? Because really.
It's not evenly done.
Maybe add some lemon. Hey-o.
Yeah. Anyway, I hated the challenge. I hated the people that just limes to this whole episode.
Did you not like to see Colin Hanks?
Well,
everybody likes Colin Hanks.
Comics, right. I loved seeing Ron Funches. That
yeah,
was pretty
I thought
fun.
That was Ron Funches getting to sit next to
I thought
to
that was Ron Funches.
It is. Ron Funches sitting real close to Padma, like smelling Padma
random
the whole day.
Smattering.
No spoken lines on that Ron Funches, but he did do a lot of leering into the camera.
Yeah. he tweeted about it. He was like, I think I'm on Top Chef right now, if that's interesting to anybody. And so I was like, I don't know what the whole thing was. It was just clearly a lot of TV people were there, but it was like, just weird. You just got to sit next to Padma but not be on the episode. What a crazy thing.
Yeah, that was really confusing.
Yeah,
Ron's done a lot of stuff since he moved out of Portland, and this is the first time I've been actually jealous of him.
Yeah, sure. How could
I just
want
to know what Padma smells like.
Whoa, that's your question?
Well, just because he couldn't
talk
to
that.
Just from that side. That's what I, like, he had limited.
You guys want to, like, I don't know, we could probably figure it out, you know, between our collective brain power.
Yeah, she probably smells like a person.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe with some, like, hair products.
Well, I'm assuming she's wearing something expensive smelling, like.
I'm going to say lemons, because that's the best smell there
you
is.
You know, I have, I should have leaned in when I did see her. That would have been a really good idea. I didn't do that. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm really upset that you saw her and you didn't.
I was a few feet away, and it seemed really weird to, like, get in there as she was, like, shrugging off her coat.
Look,
but
I'm not saying this would be great. I know she's a real person, but I do feel like this is one of the less creepy things you could do, is just inhale deeply
nope,
when she walks
that,
by.
And that's where you're wrong. And now we can
your
tell
instincts
you that
on this are
wrong.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I feel like Gail smells like fresh cut grass and white pepper.
You know,
wow,
you
that's
guys,
so good. Oh,
you're probably
Gail.
Right. I think we need an Instagram just for noses.
Like smellogram
yeah.
or
yeah.
just pictures of noses?
Fair question.
I mean, the second one is almost
well,
the best one.
Which one is easier to make?
Good luck getting 30,000 yeah. followers with that concept.
We've got 3,000 followers, but they're all weird.
Speaking of followers, I think it's probably time to open the
mailbag.
Rock solid, guys.
Yeah. That was getting better. Shaking off the rust.
Just
you
a
can
preview.
Come
Let's
and
do a teaser before just coming up at the end of mailbag, you guys. I really hated the Last Chance Kitchen. And now,
oh, right.
Mailbag.
Yes, and now mailbag.
This,
well,
is,
yeah.
this is not surprising to me, Alex.
Oh my God. Limes to this whole challenge. I hate it.
This is a tough week, guys. This was a tough week. Let's see if people agreed with us. Chris, do you want to shepherd us over to Facebook? Facebook.com/packyourmics.
Yeah, we had some great comments on Facebook.com/packyourmics. So first, Eunice wrote in and said, did she really just see Chad blowing out and applying product to his beard?
Yes. And yes, Eunice, you did.
Yes, you
we
did.
All did.
And, you and also, now you know what that means.
Yeah. Ooh.
I would like to not eat anything for an hour after I see that. So it's weird to do that on a cooking show.
Yeah. Let's see. James wrote in, and he said, you know, this is about the beefsteak challenge. I don't get how almost all of them pretended it was okay to not even attempt beef in a beefsteak challenge. I could feel Padma cringing when she said Philip was the winner.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh, which is okay it. With me since it was a pretty blah day for everybody. Also, he does like, and I don't know, did you guys see the Next Time on Top Chef thing
no.
this week?
Oh,
I
guys.
Yet, but I know it's
oh,
Restaurant
guys.
Wars.
It's Restaurant Wars, yeah. but it's going to be a two-parter.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Next week is half of Restaurant Wars.
Yeah, and the idea is everybody has to take a turn at doing either front of house or executive chef, so nobody can hide. They're doing
somebody's
a lunch
been watching
service
the
and
show.
A dinner service. Yeah,
you can't plate under a blanket this week.
Yeah. So James was saying how he's excited about that, but how two services seems like overkill, and this might be a disaster.
Yeah, but I like that they're trying. I like that they know the problems with this episode.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
I have an idea about that, about the lack of beef. The record, I think it's kind of like a bystander syndrome thing, where it's just like you assume that someone else is going to call 911.
Sure.
Yeah, yes.
And like someone else will be serving.
You assume
so
that someone else is going
to
murder a cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though that theory is entirely disproven, but yes, that.
What? It
well,
really?
That that famous story about like the nine people watching this thing and no one calls the cops was like disproven because three of them called the cops and no one saw like and none of the other ones actually saw it.
Oh,
it was just a
oh
lie.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay,
yeah, but anyway,
so it's still partially
I agree
true.
I think your theory is probably right, and also, I do think that even though the explanation was clearly bad because none of that, like they didn't really embrace it, it was twice in the name. Like
yeah.
they probably
yeah.
somebody
beef
should have done
steak.
Beef a beefsteak. That seems like yeah
yeah. Totally. So we had Jane write in to Facebook, and she said she normally enjoys Hugh, but she didn't think he came off very well this time. We saw the return of Hugh as a judge. The other thing that she had to say is she really liked the quickfire because the best thing she likes is the branding, where some things got brand names and other things, like Bugles, became like cone snacks.
Oh, right. Canned lunch meat or whatever.
Yeah.
I just had an idea, guys. Do you think it's possible that the Bravo editors are underpaid and so they maybe blackmail some of the some of the judges into like protection money so they don't get the douche edit? And if they don't pay up, then bam, they get like, you know.
I'm like curious about how that whole system works because Perrier is like one of the title sponsors this year and they still blurred a Perrier bottle in one of the episodes.
Well, that's because it was on the ground. It's sort of like you don't let the American flag touch the ground. You don't film the Perrier when it's in a state of repose.
Or if somebody like, you know, was like gargling with it and then was like, oh, garbage water. Like, you know, give it some
it
dignity.
Just be unbranded garbage water.
Yeah. Yeah, you like animate in a tiny towel to wrap around the label.
Yeah. Early Hugh was pretty intense and pretty mean. And I think,
oh yeah, he can be.
The more he's on TV, the more you catch the warm and softer side of Hugh. But in one episode back, it's not surprising to me at all that he came off as harsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Well, and was he?
Plus, they were being
so harsh.
Who threw
the lamb? Oh, sorry.
Who threw it? Or who served it?
Who threw it? Someone remember when they were? That
I
was the
that
first.
Was Padma.
No, I think no, it wasn't no, Padma. And then Padma. Tom blamed Padma.
Yeah,
I think it was Hugh who threw it. Or
I think Hugh threw it at the table
I think
behind.
It was an
them.
Accident. Yeah. I think Hugh gestured with it and it flew out of his hands.
Oh, I thought he. I thought he was like, no more of this, and tossed it over his shoulder.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, and I can't tell.
I still blame Padma for it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Just like Tom did.
So we got some excitement for Restaurant Wars from Joan as well. And
I'm so
also
stoked,
Danielle,
especially after such a limey episode. I just can't wait for something great to happen.
But speaking of Restaurant Wars, Danielle wrote in and said that she commented that Restaurant Wars has a history of knocking off front runners,
and she's
worried about Kwame.
It is a good episode for an upset.
I don't think Kwame's a front runner right now based on this past two episodes, so I think he might be safe.
Yeah.
Because, as someone suggested, he peaked early.
Come on, Alex.
Did say that, and he does.
Well, okay, everyone but Alex, do you guys feel that Kwame is who we think he is? Like, because we like him so...
Is he two kids in a trench coat, is what you're trying to say?
Two kids in a trench coat just trying to get on Padma.
I think
was this the week that the rat under his chef's hat stopped controlling him to teach him a lesson?
Okay. Hear me out. He is super charismatic. He's incredibly like lovely and charming and really like nice to his fellow chefs. And he has a lot going for him and just like the like person on reality TV meter.
Yeah, keep tweeting at us, brah.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you so much. But also, does that obscure his actual performance for the last couple of weeks? And do we feel like we're maybe not seeing him as clearly as we could?
I think he's in a rut.
It was real. It was real.
The magic was real.
I think that the rat controlling those two kids in the trench coat is like taking a break right now, but we're back later.
I mean, look, I do think that it's possible that both those mistakes were explainable. I think you could explain away both of those. And same thing even with Swamp People. I feel like his mistakes have been like reasonable, and I could see why it happened, and he could still be great. I don't think either of them can be in first place, though. I don't know if they're front runners anymore. I think they're both like solidly second and fifth.
Who's first?
I would be surprised if either one.
I don't know. I mean, Jeremy always seems to do really well.
Yeah,
that's true.
Even though, who Jeremy is.
Well, he's I don't.
He faltered a little.
Bald guy.
Episode. I remember him looking.
Oh, is that
kind of
is that Date Shake?
No, that's Carl. How? He's just like
bald
a really,
guy.
He's always
cooks fish. Like, he had the
like,
double bowl with the ice.
Yeah,
he's kind of like
double bowl.
Maybe like
Ez, go ahead.
Bigger American Stefan is what he kind of looks like.
Yeah, that is what he looks like. Yeah,
man,
that's accurate.
I believe you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now that we've identified one of the chef testants who isn't Amar, let's get back into our
mailbag.
And this time we'll post that over to Twitter, where I can promise you that we. Yeah, I was going to say something salty about our number of followers, but let's just get into it. we have Brian chiming in with a couple of different comments. So he throws some shade at Amar for eating a lot of free food, which, like, I'm not really comfortable going there.
Yeah, all about that.
Yeah. And Carl was throwing down a ton of junk food snacks.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, they had those little cheeses and red wax. I was like, oh, I wish I was there. Just
oh, Baby Bell.
You have those. Yeah, it was Megan's so good.
Anyway. True. And actually, I do agree with Brian. He said, I wish Wesley could have done this quickfire. And I think that would have been really entertaining. Yeah.
Totally.
Although I also feel like the extreme fastidiousness of the quickfire may not have been helpful for Wesley.
Sure.
Just so you know, I figured out who Jeremy is. Update.
All right.
Phew.
Good job.
Jeremy watched 2016.
The show can go on.
Comes to an end.
What if you only have so much like RAM though for chef faces? Now you've like forgotten who Marjorie is.
I've definitely
is.
Lost somebody.
And then I want to throw Brian's last comment out to the group, which is, we conclude that the winning edit and the going home edit are actually the same edit.
Oh. Well, yeah, we've had this idea before, which is that if somebody talks about their kids, they're either going home or winning for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Amar kind of was like, he didn't, I think he got like second place on that one, but it was like the first time we'd met him. So it was like introducing the kids and then he did well. But they definitely do seem like they're pretty similar. The Doom edit and the Win edit are very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're getting more context about this person either before you stop seeing them on your television or, you know, before you have to like try to muster up some good feelings about them, even though they still aren't very nice.
Tanya, you are 100% right about this. Don't let Ezra throw you off. Philip is a monster.
I guess with that, let's head into our limiest of Last Chance Kitchens. And Alex, I want you to take us through this because I'm curious for where most of your groans are.
Yeah, I'd love for you to explain the challenge inspired. And then how you feel about the challenge.
Okay, so imagine
can you remove like the most important part of the challenge out with like maybe like a paring knife and then just like blend it up and then feed it to us all?
Okay. Well, so just while I'm talking about this, just picture a skinless cow head staring at the camera for 22 minutes.
Alex is such a gentle soul.
So gross.
That was
so gross.
Okay, that was unnerving.
They kept cutting
agreed
to the
with that. It puts you in very close quarters with your own identity if you eat meat. It really does.
Yeah.
The challenge is you guys sucked at beefsteak. This is beefsteak 2. Back in the beefsteak and and they to the streets, and so they have to go they have to beefsteak harder. They
please only speak in sequels.
Yeah,
from now on,
sequels or squeakles.
This is going great.
So they just have, they're like, Tom is just like, look, the point was for you to make huge pieces of beef, which they could have been clearer on before, but they're like, finally the clarity, make huge pieces of beef. And so they did, except the one trick was that you could only use a knife in the first part, like five minutes.
Of 25 minutes.
Yeah. Of 25 minutes, which didn't seem to be that huge of a deal. But so one of the guys, was it Chad?
Mm-hmm.
Chad was like, I'm going to use this cow head and I'm going to cut out the eyeball and I'm going to make chili. And it's just so unnerving. It's just gross. It's just gross.
I kind of saw this as like Last Chance Kitchen of like Tom's like, all right, Chad, I'm gonna punish you because you did badly, and Chad's like, nope, I'm gonna punish you and also the audience.
I did feel punished. I felt punished, except that both of them did a phenomenal job. So Chad made eyeball, cheek, and tongue of the cow head.
Well, and the cheek was kind of like the steak part, and then you made a chili with the tongue and the
eyeball.
He made a no bean chili,
sense.
Which I get that there's this thing in Texas about saying there's no beans in it, but also sometimes things change over time, And now chili has beans in it, you asshole.
Whoa,
no one wants to eat your pile of cow eyes.
Chili lover 4000.
I don't want just a pile of cow eyes covered in cumin.
I've decided to make a no cow eye chili.
Cows don't know eye about chili because chili's got no cow eyes.
However, you're forgetting that it has a slight dollop of creme fraiche on top.
Which I like and didn't involve a knife.
And there was mustard, too.
Yeah,
and mustard.
Mustardy.
And then Tom had to eat the whole thing with no hands. Different challenge.
That's the escalation for next week when they cater food fight. And then Tom has to eat Pelasian's kitchen meals with no hands.
Yeah.
No, he had to eat with just his hands and mouth, I guess. But no utensils.
No utensils. Yeah.
Definitely use his mouth.
So that was Chad made that gross thing, and then
Jason made a Spanish-style steak.
Oh, yeah. Jason just made a ridiculously thick steak. He just made, 8 inches of steak.
Which, the level of difficulty of that sort of thing does go up the bigger, because you're trying to cook something big, evenly, in a small amount of time.
Yeah. So then the result was that Jason cooked this ridiculously hard-to-cook steak perfectly, which is Tom, you could see his... Like, his chubby almost knocked the cow head off the table. He was just so excited about this perfect... I know, it was unusual.
Wow. Wow, I really...
Like we said,
he couldn't
use his hands to eat it, so...
So, they were punishing us, and so now I'm punishing our listeners. Jason
would be the bigger man, Alex.
And then it turned out the beef cheek was not cooked enough, even though Tom came over and was like, "Psst, maybe you should cook the beef cheek longer."
And Chad's like, "I can't hear you because of my beard."
Anyway, that's the challenge. Just the whole thing. It was the worst. Just limes to everybody.
I loved how much Tom loved the food that he was eating, though, when he's like, I need some damn wine.
Tom had a fucking great day. He was beaming. He was just all, covered in steak goo.
Yeah. And, everybody's sweaty and it's smoky in there. And just, the peanut gallery's contractually obligated to hug a very sweaty Jason after he wins.
Yeah. Tom is just dripping grease down the front of his chubby.
Oh, God. Can we never say that ever again?
This is a vaguely
one
all
more time.
Ages
we
show.
Can say it one more time.
No. I'm gonna edit in a robot voice saying belly every time.
Radio edit. Sorry for swearing. If you have kids here, I'm just so grossed out by this cow, upper jaw pulled skin back.
It was very Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was pretty brutal. I completely agree that it was brutal. I just don't know how sexualizing Tom is helping anyone.
It's never hurt me before.
And that's Top Chef.
Buzzing. All right, kiddos. That is our episode. Do we have any predictions?
Oh, well, Jason won. Did we say that?
Oh, yeah, Jason.
Oh, whoops, Jason won. So
he's the one who has to maybe face Amar or somebody else.
So now, Chad joins.
Who?
Chad joins the peanut gallery where he can oil his beard in peace.
Mm-hmm. Where he can walk out, watch them cook for 15 minutes, hug a person, leave, walk back out, pretend it's a different day, for 15 minutes.
To be fair, the peanut gallery did have to escort the meat into the kitchen this time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
They had a job. But yeah, back to the real matter at hand. What are people's predictions?
Did you guys see from the prediction or from the preview? Did they show in the two-parter? Are they sending somebody home each day, or is it two parts and then
we
two
don't
eliminations?
Know. We don't know.
Oh,
don't
know. Good question. Good question.
Well, I assumed it was one elimination, but
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
After 48 brutal hours.
Yeah. But I think Isaac, I think Swamp People, Cajun Man 5000 is going to do super well. Because he's going to have the ability to cook big flavors. But the other thing is, he gets along well with everybody. Everybody loves him.
Does he?
And so he's going to be a no-drama-rama.
Ooh, Megan, what?
Yeah. I thought that he said, it was a few episodes ago, and they were doing... I can't remember what it was, but it was some people got to cook their own dish, and some people kind of had to work in teams. Oh, it was the wedding. It was the wedding. And he was like, I'm just going to work by myself because I am not really great at working in a group. So at least that's his self-assessment.
I think they're both right. Like, I think he definitely is nice to people and they like him, but he might not actually cook well with others. So he plays well, but he might not cook well.
Yeah.
I think he'll do a great front of the house, though.
Oh, yeah.
He'll make everybody feel very welcome. And we got to see Isaac. Oh, this is my favorite part. Sorry, just talking, gushing about Isaac. He got the quote, "I'm just hoping that my whimsical plate gets the most likes on Instagram. The least Isaac thing that he's ever said."
Yeah.
He followed it up with, like, "I want to put, like, all of my sausage in your mouth."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was also Isaac. So, you know, balance.
He also
always stuck by
his dish, which you shouldn't do when you lose.
I don't think it matters one way or the other, honestly. I think they've, like, I really don't think they care what you say.
That's probably.
I think it used to matter. I don't think it does anymore.
There are certain things that seem like it matters because it just, you can really piss Tom off with certain things.
Yeah.
But mostly it doesn't seem to matter.
Their expression, I think, will be different when they say who won or who didn't.
Right. True.
But I think it's pretty much, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that.
Any other
Sausage Town?
What? You get what you get in Sausage Town?
Yeah.
Any other future visions from the panel?
We are only 3 weeks away from Rat King.
Glad to know.
Is this like on the drive from Southern California to Northern California? That's where they're like sitting too close and they start to fuse.
Yeah. Oh no, my chef's coat got tangled with your chef's coat.
Yeah, it's right around the Anderson pea soup window. That's where it's going to happen.
Oh yeah, the pea soup window.
They're not Californians.
Uh-huh. Who are the loosest teeth in the first grader's mouth? Like, who's going to be on their
metaphor,
way out?
Also,
that's a
perfect
great
question.
Saying.
I mean,
fill up,
I hope.
Right?
This might be my heart speaking, but fill up.
You can wiggle as much as you want. That guy's in there.
I would love for Philip to also have peaked too early, and for that to have been his peak, and then he's on his way out.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah,
I think, guys, I think it's just a Nanny McPhee situation where it's like, as long as you don't want him there, but you need him there, he's going to be there. But as soon as you want him there, but don't need him, he'll leave.
I'm never going to want him,
so what's the other option?
Well, he's going to be there forever. That's what happened with Nanny McPhee.
Huh.
But then you change. Your heart changes.
Is anyone worried about Amar? I guess I'm not really that worried about Amar, but I also don't know how much
you know, I've never... Yeah, I've never worried about Amar.
Barely thought about Amar. How could I be worried
about him? I didn't know him, and then he was doing well. You know what? I got to say, this feels like a fairly even set of first grader teeth right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I feel like anybody
no
could
wobbles.
Have a
just
bad
start
day.
Time face the doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
who seems like they would play along with others the worst on Restaurant Wars? Obviously, Philip, but open question.
Other than Philip?
I was asking it, I was like, well, clearly Philip. But, like, does anybody else seem like they wouldn't play well with others?
I mean, yeah, I do have that worry about swamp people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, but Philip is getting along pretty well with Amar, actually,
yeah,
right now.
Buddies.
That's right, because they're roommates.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was like, we get along because we're roommates. Oh, right. That's cute.
And he would say, like, Amar was like, you know what? I used to be kind of like that, so I get it.
Yeah. Oh, that was, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex, I imagine you were going to say, I thought that was also a really good point that he made about, you know, Philip, yes, opened his own restaurants.
At his age, as a child,
was working under a mentor who could tear my dishes apart and tell me that I needed to start over and try something else. And, you know, both things are useful.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it's very impressive for you to open a restaurant at 26, but no one's ever told you no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah. Which, and like, if the other chef was like telling you new assholes, you just have the one old asshole, and like you need some new ones, maybe.
And I'm
so
the one who
think
sexualized
about editing,
Tom.
Huh?
I'm a little worried about Jeremy, who I've recently discovered. Jeremy seems like a little bro-y, and he seems like he might, if he's put on the team with Marjorie or Karen, who are both, I think, better chefs than him, he will still try to boss them around to everybody's detriment.
I see him being very bossy, and
although
if they just make him Captain Fish, he'll be fine.
Sorry for breaking in on you there, Megan. What were you going to say after that?
Oh, he's been doing really well, but he seems like he's, I don't know.
Dickhead? I'm sorry.
Well,
I forgot this is
know.
General audience.
I mean, we haven't, like, there's kind of a reason why maybe you didn't remember him, Alex, because I feel like we have, I don't know, we've seen a lot of him, but not, like, I don't, he hasn't gotten any very prominent edits.
Yeah, not memorable.
He's had
things.
More, like, not yeah. edits, but he has as many wins as anybody else.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of wins, but we haven't, I don't know, he's been sort of just there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't he invent a brilliant way of keeping ceviche cold?
Yeah, okay.
that was amazing. I remember that. It was
Jeremy,
great.
Rediscoverer of ice.
He did the thing that apparently everybody on the street in Miami does, and it was really awesome.
It was very exciting. I guess I foresee that Jeremy will have a lot of efficiency. I don't worry as much about him being paired with like Karen and Marjorie, for example, only because they both seem like they're very, they have no problem voicing their opinions, and they're pretty
agreed.
Strong ladies. And I'm excited that they're both still in the competition.
Marjorie will rush to call a side dish.
Yeah. But I love that that image of Marjorie and Karen just like standing next to each other, sharpening their knives and talking about how they're going to take the whole competition.
I'm rooting for them both. I really, really am.
So into it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for this time around. We're going to be back with the first half of Restaurant Wars next week.
Yeah.
Which I can't believe we're already to Restaurant Wars, you guys. This is crazy.
We're growing up so fast.
And we had a couple of great contributions in the form of a great gift that we got from D. Quatermouse. And then also some fantastic comics
that we posted on the Facebook page.
Yeah. And I think we'll also post those with this week's episode because they were just so much fun. And I
loved them so much.
Them.
That was Jay who gave us some comics last season. He's been busy, but apparently he doesn't like this Thursday release schedule, but he's excited that it's back and he finally had time for some comics, and I like them so much.
My favorite one is
Richard surrounded by chocolate going, "Oh, the mystery."
It's so awesome. It definitely made my day.
Or the alligator telling Cajun Man that he wins.
Yeah, that's Knife great. Blocked.
Yeah.
So check out the comic Knife Blocked on our Facebook page and on our Tumblr and stuff.
Yeah. And that's it. Chris?
Yeah, what is it?
I'm so sorry, but your beef cheek is still twitching.
Oh, no.
We're going to...
Oh, I'm sorry, but I made that ash-crusted, very, very masculine, delicate fish that I thought was...
Yes, and it was covered in microgreens, and we're all disgusted.
Chris,
okay, well, it's been a...
Try not to look at Tom's chubby on the way out.
Oh. Alex. You know what?
Double elimination.
You found a button and you just keep pushing it.
You sure do. That is unfortunate.
All I know how to do.
All right. Well, you can both see yourselves out. This has been Pack Your Mics. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Cow eyes.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.